Our last presenter is Dr. Virginia Guidry. She is a postdoctoral researcher in the Department of Epidemiology at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She earned her Master of Public Health from the UNC Department of Maternal and Child Health and earned her PhD from the UNC Department of Epidemiology. Dr. Guidry continues to pursue environmental health and environmental justice issues, especially regarding the health of women and children. She believes in research as a tool for community engagement and education, as well as discovery.
I'm going to try to shut the blinds when the slides are dark. Hopefully that will help being able to see the contrast a little bit more. Good morning, everyone. I'm Ginger Guidry. I'm here from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And I'm going to talk today about the Rural Air Pollutants and Children's Health Study, and specifically look at some of the exposure assessment measures we've done, looking at air pollution from industrial swine operations. And this work was done in eastern North Carolina. I want to acknowledge my collaborators, Jill Johnston, David Richardson, and Steve Wing from UNC Chapel Hill, and then Devon Hall from the Rural Empowerment Association for Community Health. He was the main representative from the community-based organization which we worked for this work. Anyone know what that picture is on the left up there? Yeah, that's an industrial swine operation. This is actually a fairly commonly sized one in eastern North Carolina. And you can see the white barns where the swine animals are, and then the large ponds behind are the waste ponds from the animals. And there's thousands of animals in each of those barns. I have no relationships to disclose. Here's a picture from the ground looking at one of these operations. And so one of the reasons they're of concern is because of the air pollutants that come from the operations. It's a complex mixture that includes hydrogen sulfide, particulate matter, endotoxins, ammonia, carbon dioxide, methane, VOCs. And the work that we're going to present here, we focus on hydrogen sulfide as a marker of this mixture because it's something that you can measure, and it's also specific to these operations. Particulate matter comes from the operations in a significant quantity, but particulate matter comes from many sources, so it's hard to use it as a specific marker. We actually did some particulate matter measurements, but we're focusing more on the hydrogen sulfide measurements now. And hydrogen sulfide is, you know, commonly described as the rotten egg smell. It's the smell associated with decomposing waste. Here's some pictures from inside operations, just because I think it's really important to understand the context of this just really dense livestock production system that we're currently using. So the top is a picture in a swine operations, and there's turkeys, and then some more swine operations on the bottom. And for example, in North Carolina, 99% of the hogs that are produced in these kinds of facilities. So this is really the predominant system that's used across the U.S. today. In North Carolina, when you look at density of production across the country, we have the most dense area in the country, which is one of the reasons that we really focus on this area with our work. You can see Iowa is also, they're actually the top producer in the country, but you know, it's more distributed across the state, whereas we have more of a density. And then, though I won't focus too much on this, I also wanted to show poultry density by county because it has a different distribution, but it has a lot of the same concerns. So here you can see it's more, you know, in the southern states than the distribution we saw for the swine. And North Carolina still has a fairly decent density of poultry operations as well. And, of course, all of this matters because of the people who live near the operations. This is an example of a gentleman who lives near some industrial poultry operations. So the piles in the background are actually the poultry litter, whereas swine have a liquid waste system. Poultry litter is dry, and so it's scooped out of the buildings. Sometimes people outside the operations wear masks when the air quality is really poor. And, of course, you know, these are their homes, so they try to do the things that we all do at our homes, like hang out outside and hang laundry and things like that, and you know, but they're dealing with the air quality from their neighbors as well. So we did a study looking at rural air pollutants and children's health because due to the air quality concerns, people started to be worried about impacts on children's health and possible asthma or wheezing outcomes in children. So this study was school-based. It was participatory with the children actually helping us to collect the health outcome data. It was a collaboration between researchers at UNC Chapel Hill, the Rural Empowerment Association for Community Health, and then three middle schools. The schools had a majority of students of color, and they were majority low-income students. And we did five waves of data collection. Each wave was 3 to 5 weeks long. The data were collected in 2009 from February to May and then September to November, coinciding with the school year, so we didn't collect over the summer. And we monitored air pollution continuously inside and outside the schools, including hydrogen sulfide and particulate matter. And then, for the figures I'm going to show today, we took hourly pollutant averages and we merged them with hourly data from nearby weather stations. So North Carolina has an extensive weather station system, and so we use select systems or select stations to have their hourly data. And so then we can look at not only the concentrations that we measured, but where the wind is coming from when those concentrations were measured. So I'm going to present selected results given the limited time today, and the two schools I'm going to focus on are both the most highly exposed and the most least exposed school, so you can sort of see a contrast. Okay, so starting first with school three, which was the most highly exposed school, this is also a school where we did three waves of data collection, and we kind of saved the school for last because we knew they were the most highly exposed and we wanted to work out the kinks in our process a little bit before we got there. So the first thing I want to show you is a geographic distribution of livestock operations near the school. And so the large ring is 5 kilometers, and the smaller ring is 2.5 kilometers, so it's just halfway out. And I know they're small, and so it's kind of hard to see, but basically the triangles are poultry operations, and the circles are swine operations. So you can kind of see the distribution around the school. And for this school, you can see that there are some operations that are very close to the school. The closest one is less than a quarter of a mile away. So first, you know, kind of getting a sense from that, and just, you know, as you look at that, keep an eye on, you know, the direction and where these operations are. And then this is a distribution of the detection of hydrogen sulfide by direction. So when wind is coming from certain directions, we looked at the percentage of measurements which had detectable hydrogen sulfide. And so you can see here that you're starting to see a pattern where we have a lot of operations in the south and southwest, and sure enough, we're seeing a lot of detection in that area too. Now, another thing to consider is where the wind is coming from. And so here's a traditional windrose. And so the windrose shows you the length of the bar is the percentage of measurements from a given direction. So what you can see in this windrose is a lot of times the wind is coming from the north and the northeast. And yet we're still detecting measurements coming. When the wind is coming from the southwest, we're still detecting measurements down there. So it's really important to keep an eye on that because since we're only measuring for, you know, fairly short periods of time, you know, it can really change what we're measuring because the wind might never come from the direction of certain operations. So we have to keep that in mind. And for this school, we also looked at concentration by direction because we had an instrument that was sensitive enough to detect a range of low concentration levels. The hydrogen sulfide levels are typically fairly low. However, they are a marker for this larger, more complex mix of air pollutants. And so even though they're low, it can represent a greater exposure. And so again, we're seeing sort of a similar pattern when you look at concentrations. So the longer bars are greater concentrations by direction. Now in comparison, I want to show you our school two. And so here's the distribution of the operations for school two. So now we have a concentration of swine operations that are up in the northeast, and as well as some that are down in the southeast. And they're not quite as close. There are some that are close, but they're not quite as close as the other buildings were. And then here's our distribution of detectable hydrogen sulfide measurements. And this is on the same scale. So now we have a much lower frequency of detection. But one thing that's really interesting to look at is when you look at the windrose, the wind is almost always coming from the southwest. So during the time we were there doing our measurements, and I can tell you the teachers even said, the air quality has been really good while you guys were here. So, sure enough, we looked at the wind direction, and it's never coming from the direction of the operation. So, you know, this is part of what happens. But it's really important to be aware of this when we're looking at these relationships, because if you weren't taking wind direction into account, you might make a different conclusion. And then, to basically confirm what we were seeing visually, we also ran some linear regression models to look at the changes in concentration associated with inverse distance weighted swine building area. So we looked, for a given direction, we looked at the area of the buildings as a way to sort of summarize what was there. So we totaled up the area of the buildings. And then we weighted those buildings that were closer with a greater weight than those buildings that were further away, presuming that the closer buildings are contributing more to the concentrations we're measuring. And so what you can see here, and I highlighted the swine row so you could just kind of, you know, focus on that for these linear models, but you can see the increase in hydrogen sulfide either detection in the first section or in concentration. So it's the increase with each 1,000 square meters of distance-weighted swine building. So that's the amount of the increase in hydrogen sulfide detection or concentration. So you can see, because all of those betas are positive, you can see that we're seeing a positive increase in our concentrations or in our detection associated with increasing area. And then for comparison, I thought I'd show you the poultry numbers, which we're also seeing an increase, but it's a lot smaller. And for hydrogen sulfide, this is what we would expect, because there's generally lower hydrogen sulfide concentrations near poultry operations than swine operations. But we are confirming this with our models as well. But we're still seeing some strong positive relationships in which, even though the numbers are small, they're very precise. And so we're seeing very consistently increases with increased building exposure upwind. So the conclusions from this work. First of all, you know, it's kind of a shame sometimes you have to do the work to document what people already know when they live there. But one of our conclusions is that airborne pollutants from livestock operations are detectable at schools. And that we also found that upwind livestock operations predict hydrogen sulfide detection and concentrations at these schools. And swine operations contribute more to hydrogen sulfide than poultry. And this is just a summary of one of the figures that I showed before. And one of the reasons this is important is because children are required to attend these schools where they are exposed to these pollutants. We know that students at schools near livestock operations are more likely to be low-income and students of color. There's been previous work that has documented this, and this is one of the reasons that this is of concern from an environmental justice standpoint as well. And because of not only this work, but this work is building on something I did mention, which is that there are past studies of schools near livestock operations and respiratory health impacts that have been measured in the children. And so basically, you know, just demonstrating from an exposure assessment standpoint, it's another piece of information saying that potential health impacts should be considered when either citing schools, if the livestock operations are already there, or citing livestock operations when there are already schools that are present. Thanks for your time.